Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Urgency of church revitalization in Nigeria. When we say something is urgent, what do we mean? When something is urgent, I'm not hearing you. Emergency. No time for delay. It's an emergency. So what we are discussing this morning is an emergency. Amen. No more time for delay. The problem of church decline and death has been an age-long concern. We see Christ himself dealing with this in the book of Revelation when he was talking to the seven churches of Asia. Incidentally, despite the warning given those seven churches, they eventually declined and they are dead, as we are talking now. They have gone into extinction. Sister Stanica, in his studies as far back as the 1920s, also confirmed that the problem of church decline was still on. It is, however, sad that despite the long history of church decline, the problem has not only persisted, but is on the increase. It need be mentioned that available information shows that church decline cuts across denominational lines. It's not just a problem of the Baptist or the Presbyterian or the Methodist or the Anglican. It's not just a problem of the mainline churches. It's also a problem of the Pentecostal, if not worse, within that setting. Reader, in his book, From Embers to a Flame, have some books on church revitalization here. Those who are interested after service. This one talks about autopsy of a deceased church. You know, you conduct autopsy on people that die. The same thing you do there for a church. This is the particular book I'm referring to. It's a Presbyterian minister. He had a first-hand experience in going through a revitalization with his church. Why churches die. This is another interesting book that may help some of us who want to go further in this. So it provided us with the following statistics. That about 95% of all churches in North America record an average of what? 100 people or less during their weekly worship services. Is that not disturbing? But when you watch TBN or some of these other stations and you see churches like that of T.D. Jakes and some other, you have an impression that the churches in America, they are doing wonderfully well. That is not a true reflection of Christianity in America. America is actually referred to now as a post-Christian nation. The same thing UK. And it's quite unfortunate that a lot there don't even know about Christ. So on a Sunday morning like this, churches that are having 95%, I mean having 100 people or less, can you see the percentage? 95%. So if you have a church like Ikoyi like this now in America, this is a very, very big thing. That more than 80% of established churches in America are either experiencing what? A plateau or declining. Let me quickly say at this point that while we may be thinking that what we are talking about is just in America, I need to quickly say that IBC is also a declining church. we did some analysis. If the media will give us the next slide. Okay. In January, when I was making this presentation, some of the questionnaires we sent out and the analysis that was done said we are 69.8, close to 75, that we are in the maturity stage. But we have actually done another one after that and discovered that if we be true with ourselves, we are 89 and we are already going down that slope, which suggests that we are already declining. And some of us will confirm that numerically speaking, we are declining. Okay? And that's the reason for this revitalization exercise, so that we can incline instead of declining. Praise the Lord. How many of us want us to incline? I want us to incline, and it shall be so in Jesus' name. If you love God, and if you love the body of Christ, you love the church, you love Ikoyi Baptist Church, what we are dealing with this morning and this month should bother you. God's problem is not with ISIS. His problem is not with Boko Haram or the cattle Fulani herdsmen that are being used as front to kill Christians. His problem is a complacent church. His problem are those who claim to be Christians and they will see their father's house being trodden under and they will do nothing. That's the problem of God. Now I pray that you will be wounded in your spirit and say, God, I won't be alive and see churches closing their doors while I'm still on the surface of the earth. I will do my best as long as you give me grace. That more than 3,000 to 4,000 churches die and close their church doors every year in North America. As we are flipping over the page, we are talking about churches doing what? Dying. And the statistics I'm giving you this morning actually is already outdated because it's about 2010, thereabout. Between 3,000 to 4,000 churches. Can you imagine? Every year, instead of planting that number of churches, they are literally closing down. Perhaps the situation in the United Kingdom and other parts of Europe is worse. It's interesting to know that the United Kingdom, where the Bible was used to determine laws, moral practice, and in teaching children, is now being described as living in a secular age. It is reported that while the population grew by 6.7% between 1980 and 2005, the total number of church decline was 5.16 within the same period. Can see the margin. A typical example of this foregoing scenario is the Ely Cathedral in Cambridgeshire, England. This church original monastery was reported to be founded in 673. The church was built to seat about 2,000 worshippers. But by 1994, the Ely Cathedral was turned into a museum. Instead of its original purpose of worship, available information has it that the Ely Cathedral presently attracts millions of visitors each year. That's the picture of Ely Cathedral. So between this building and the Ikoyi Baptist Church building, which one is the biggest? Ely Cathedral is bigger. What does that suggest to you? Seating capacity, 2,000. What's the seating capacity for Ikoyi Baptist? 2,500. Okay. Praise the Lord. If this type of church can close and be turned to a museum, that people now travel And they'll be taking you, walking you around. You pay money to enter, and they'll be taking you around, showing you places. So who tells you that it cannot happen in Nigeria? It's already happening, actually. I've seen churches that the only way you could trace them was their old signboard. Went to start a church in Bauchi some years ago, and by custom, we like to familiarize with existing churches around. They said there's a Baptist church here. So we said, okay, let's go and greet the pastor and introduce our mission to him. Only for somebody to tell the pastor, that church is no longer in existence. I said, we saw the signboard. They said, it's only the signboard that they forgot it. It's a challenge. How can my father's house go into extinction when God is still alive? This is a great challenge to the church in Africa, particularly the church in Nigeria. There's the need to learn from the situation in North America and Europe, especially because of the influence that these continents have on Nigeria and other parts of Africa. It's often said that when the West sneezes, Africa catches a cold. It seems important that whatever happens in North America and Europe may ultimately happen in Africa. We must therefore not wait till we are completely overwhelmed with the challenge of church decline before we begin to address the issue. Meanwhile, the problem of church decline is already with us in Nigeria. Can you hear me tell your neighbor, the problem is already here with us? We need to do something about it. This is evidenced by the following. Number one, the high rate of unregenerate church membership. A good example of this is the Nigerian Baptist Convention that reports 3 million baptized members and 6.5 million non-baptized members. For the churches in the West, the symptom is that their churches are reducing numerically and ultimately get closed. But in the Nigerian church, what do we observe? Our churches are not yet closing down. Rather, we're having numerical what? Most of our churches are filled every Sunday. Isn't it? Culturally, you grow up knowing that I cannot be at home on a Sunday. I must go to where? Whether I'm born again or not, I must go to church. Except recently, the best time to drive around cities is when? Sunday morning. Because everybody is in church. But the question is, of all the people in church, how many are regenerated? It's like the devil says, are we finish them using this strategy in America and Europe. But in Africa, let me change my strategy. I will allow them to be going to church, but make sure they are not what? They are not born again. So we have a situation whereby in some congregation, half of the congregation is born again, half are not. A combination of goats and sheep. Is that what God is looking for? What is God looking for? He's looking for sheep. If you're in this meeting this morning, you are not yet born again. I need to tell you that you are actually contributing to the sickness of the church. And there's no reason for that. Christ died for you.
He paid the ultimate price. All you need to do is to acknowledge that you are a sinner and Christ has already paid the price for your redemption and accept him into your life. Very simple. And I trust that some will do that this morning. And you'll be delisted from the category of people that are contributing to the sickness of the church. It's of a particular worry for our denomination. I'm putting up a paper, a document, hopefully to be shared with our convention leaders, of things that has to be done drastically if in the next 50, 60 years, we are still going to be having the body called Nigerian Baptist Convention. Because if we don't deal seriously with some of these issues, we may go into extinction, God forbid. Things have to be done. It's an emergency. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine? We reported here that we have how many baptized members? 3 million. And non-baptized members, how many of them? What do you see about that statistics? You can be sure that out of the 3 million baptized members, there were quite a number of them that were baptized who are not born again. Do you agree with me? You know, some of us, how did you get baptized? You went to church Sunday morning and pastor announced, we are starting baptismal class. Go and enroll. Go and put down your names. And you got home. Daddy said, did you put down your name for baptism? He said, no. He said, I saw the son of my friend going out for baptism. You want to stay in this house and be eating my food? Oh, yeah? Go and write down your name now. So you two went down and wrote your name for baptism, even when you are not ready for baptism. So we have three million that we're not even sure of how many are genuinely saved before we put them inside water. They will now talk about how many again? 5 million that there are people, but they are not baptized. So I begin to ask myself, what are you doing in the church? What are you doing in the church? That you've been in church year one up for the past 10 years, you've been coming to church and you're not born again. What are you doing in church? What is your business? Simple condition to be part of the body of Christ. Repent and be baptized. Just two conditions. And you don't want to. So what are you doing in the church? If you don't want to repent, you don't want to be baptized, what are you doing? What is your business in the house of God? Why do you want to kill the church? Why do you want to be an enemy, a tool in the hand of the devil to kill our Father's house? You may not know the gravity of what you are doing by not repenting. By not being baptized. You are collaborating with Satan to close down the church for which Christ died. It's as terrible as that. So this morning, I encourage you, I beg you, I plead with you, under God, if you are yet to be born again, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Give your heart to Christ. Be a child of God. In the early church, it's very clear. Issue of church membership is very, very, very clear. You are either for or the Bible said people were afraid to join them. So you're either a Christian or you are not. Hallelujah. 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 When did we start having this problem? The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy began to hurt tears. The Lord will help Ikoyi Baptist Church that we shall not be a ground where the enemy will just saturate us with the unregenerate. Every one of us will be born again. Hallelujah. We'll be rapturable. How wonderful will it be that Jesus will come on a Sunday morning? Wow. And suddenly you just see the pastor lifted. Eh? Amen. And as I'm lifted like this, you just see my wife escorting me. Pew. Praise the Lord. How about you? And you are lifted too. Wow. And we are all going to meet our Redeemer in the sky. How wonderful, how beautiful will that be? That we are being raptured. And you look back into the building and everywhere is empty. That all of us are heaven bound. How wonderful would that be? I encourage you this morning, if you are not yet born again, give your heart to Christ so that I can be part of those of us that will make it when the trumpet will sound. So we have a sick denomination that is in need of desperate healing. We should send the Nigerian Baptist Convention to ICU as soon as possible. Praise the Lord. When I saw this, and I saw this on our website, I raised the alarm. I shared with some of our leaders. They wanted to deal with the problem, but there was no way you can deal with a problem by rebranding. When it comes to the sinful nature, the sinful nature must be crushed by the power of the cross, not by rebranding. So we get to the website now. That has changed from 6.5 million non-baptized members to 6.5 million worshipers. But have we solved the problem? We have not solved the problem. What Ikoyi Baptist Church is doing now, every local Baptist church needs to do it. And I know fully well that after this training, several churches around us will be calling for help. That is why all of us here should be ready to go and help those churches. The pastors can't handle that alone. That's why now in Abuja, in Ilorin, we have pockets of people who can do this for us. Amen. Freely you have received, freely given. No money will be charged for doing this. But the materials they may have to produce to get it done. So we have the problem, the very high rate of unregenerate church membership. Problem of lack of transformational churches, as advocated by the likes of Uzi Odima Obet. Death of biblical discipleship, continuous rise in church conflicts is still on the rise, and it's not good at all. If there's a place people should not fight, it is where? It's in church. I know of a church in the city of Port Harcourt that was shut down for more than 10 years by the state government. Because when people come to church on Sunday morning, it's physical blow. They fought and fought and fought until the state said you're a disgrace. And that church was shut down for 10 years plus. You pass by, you see grass is growing all over the place. What was the cause of the conflict? Tribal sentiments. There's any place where there should be no fight, no conflict. It's in the church. Can I say to you, if you're in church this morning and you're in conflict with any church member, you need to deal with it. You may not go to heaven. Challenge of syncretism and nominal Christianity. People are only Christians by name, but not in their attitude, not in their behaviors. Sunday morning, they are wonderful. By Monday, they are different. all together. You won't believe what you are seeing. Syncretism is on the rise, especially most of our Pentecostal churches. And unfortunately, we are bringing that even to the Baptist denomination. Now you go to some of our Baptist churches, they will tell you to remove your shoes. Remove your shoes and take sand and use it to pray. One pastor that had to be suspended from our association, we were in Port Harcourt, we asked his members when they are coming to church to bring bottles. And when they are coming, they should pick some stones and put it inside the bottle. He said, that is the way God will lock up your enemies. I know, don't let me use the word I want to come out of my mouth. Some of us, you even go to those places and your amen will be the loudest. Where can you find that in the Bible? Where is that in the scripture? One of the reasons why we have not begun to do the so-called anointing service in the Equity Baptist Church is because of the abuse. We want there to be a proper education if the Lord will lead us in that direction. Because now some of us have been taught to drink the oil. To anoint does not mean to drink. The word anoint means to rub, to smear. Now some of us go to places where you drink. Let me ask your neighbor, you go there. Let me ask your neighbor, you go. There's death of authentic Christian living by those who claim to be Christians in Nigeria. It's been said that Christianity in Nigeria and Africa is 1 mile long, but 1 inch deep. The depth is not there. We are not deep enough. There's so much emphasis on quantitative growth at the expense of qualitative growth. He wants people to come, just come as you are. Come as you are, come as you are. It doesn't matter. Come as you are. It matters to Jesus. The above perhaps explain the reason for the problem of poor governance, corruption, and all kinds of vices in Nigeria and other parts of Africa. How can we expect somebody to be a good governor, a wonderful performing governor or minister or commissioner, that you put him in the midst of billions of dollars and he will still be seen? Are you following me now? If the person has not been conquered by Christ, it's not possible. It takes a regenerated heart to be able to govern well. So while our churches are filled to capacity on Sundays, the people that attend the churches are yet to have truly encountered the living Christ. Those who have encountered Christ have perhaps not been properly and biblically discipled. We have the problem of statistics compounding that, and that's what the Go Leadership Institute will be doing. If you are very good in statistics and all that, we need you to work with us. This suggests that the Nigerian church needs to honestly evaluate ourselves and urgently take necessary steps to becoming healthy. We should be wise enough to learn from the experience of our brothers and sisters in Europe and America. Turn quickly with me to, if you have questions, please just be writing your questions. We take them at the appropriate time. Somebody said, but it's a Sunday service. Yes, it's a Sunday service with a difference. They have opportunity to ask questions, make contributions. Page 16, the necessity of regenerate church membership. The The Lord Jesus Christ established the church of the New Testament. He loves his church so much to have died for her. Page 26, please. I was just telling somebody this morning, say, I refuse glasses. But this one that I'm already calling 26:16. Amen. It's not a sin to wear glasses anyway. Praise the Lord. I hope somebody will not come and meet me after service to show him or her in the Bible where it is written that you should not wear glasses. I've said it too. There's not a sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to emphasize that the church is not the building. The church is a group of baptized believers who voluntarily join themselves together for what? Worship, instruction, fellowship, and service. And this definition implies the following, that the church is a living organism, not a physical structure. It's talking about the ecclesia. The ecclesia are the called out ones, those who have been called out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light. Amen. The church is a group. It's not possible for a single person to be a church. However, it is the gathering together of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and Lord. The church is not just a mere group, but a united group. A united group. Unity is distinctive, is a distinctive characteristic of a local church. The church is how many body? One body consisting of many parts. Membership in a local church is voluntary. The church is not a cult. No individual should be lured or coerced to join a local church. No one should be stopped from also withdrawing from a local church membership. People have to join a local church on their own what? Volition, and leave whenever they choose to. The church is not a cult. It's called that we deceive people to enter, and the day they want to come out, they say, you cannot come out. If you come out, you are in trouble. While we will not like any of our members to leave, we will beg you, we will plead with you. Say, brother, don't go. Please, we love you. Stay with us. Let's do God's work together. But if you are fully convinced that it's time to move, we will pray with you and send you forth in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you happened to say if you leave this church? Some pastors will try to say, if you the day you leave this church, that is a cult. Nobody should threaten you. The church is a group of baptized believers. That issue is coming up again. It's a group of what? Baptized believers. Actually, until even though you have given your life to Christ, until you are baptized, you are not part of the body of Christ. It's as serious as that. So when we talk about the church, we are talking about a group of people who are regenerate, giving their life to Christ, and are also what? Baptized. That's why when we are taking the communion, we normally say if you are not born again and if you are not baptized, don't do what? How can you partake of what you are not a part of? It's a simple logic. So I encourage you this morning, if you are yet to be baptized, indicate for baptism and we'll get you ready for baptism. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, we'll be celebrating baptism in the Ikoyi Baptist Church wonderfully this year. We'll be doing it on a Sunday evening. That's the proposal I'm making, you know, to the leadership. and we will celebrate it. Amen. Amen. We use it as an opportunity to reach out also to the lost. You invite your friends, your family members to come around to be part of what is being done. Hallelujah. 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 Can you help me ask your neighbor, are you baptized? If your neighbor said yes, say which type of baptism? Ask your neighbor, which type? Which type? Praise the Lord. You know there's this type. It's your own like this. I hope somebody, I'm not doing what they call waka, eh? I'm not doing waka. I'm talking about a type of baptism. You know the name. I won't mention it. Praise the Lord. If that is type you have, that is not Bible baptism. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me ask your neighbor, where did they baptize you? Get answer from your neighbor. Where did they baptize you? Somebody said in the church, hallelujah. Somebody said in the river, praise God. But there are some of us here that what you call baptism that they gave you is not baptism. It was initiation. Did you hear what I said? That what some of us claim to be what? Baptism, it is what? It is initiation. If you got baptized in those churches, they initiated you. And their brothers. You know they are brothers. That was not baptism. What you actually went through was an initiation, and you need help. When should a man be baptized? When? Before he becomes born again? Which one should come first? I'm not hearing you. You get born again first, and you not go for all. But you know some of us here, yeah, you got baptized, and you not got born again. Is that what the Bible says? Can you hear me do like this? Fa, 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 fa. So that baptism was not actually baptism. You took a bath. We are dealing with serious issues this morning. So that means you will need now to do the right thing. Let me do like this to your neighbor. Say, do the right thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope somebody is not saying this. Say, what is that small boy talking about? What is he saying? I got baptized in 19 so and so. Please, don't be offended. I'm only telling you the word of God. That's the word of God, though. Say that baptism you had is far, 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 far. Do the right thing. Repent and be baptized. Not baptized. And repent. What we are doing is to set the church in order. I'm an advocate that once the church is in order, sincerely speaking, we don't need to roll on the floor before miracles will happen. When things are properly placed, when we are praying when we should pray, fast when we should fast, our lives are correct, sincerely speaking, we will see God in operation. Amen. I strongly believe that the church is the strongest, the most powerful institution on the earth, not the United Nations. If every local church will be what God wants her to be, I'm telling you, we will wield great spiritual power that no Satan, no force on the earth will be able to stop. But because we are not what we are supposed to be, the enemy begins to play around us. It shouldn't be so. The church exists for a purpose, and the purpose is listed here. Thank God, Equity Baptist Church is a purpose-driven church. We exist for 5 things: worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship, and service. Case for regenerated membership. A case for regenerated membership. Are you following me? Regeneration is principally the act of God the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is the same thing as the new birth. It is a process by which God gives to man who is dead in sin a new life. Every sinner is dead. And it's when Christ comes into your life that you receive the new life, which we call the abundant life, the victorious life, the life of Christ himself. Amongst others, the following provides the necessity of regenerated church membership. Number one, Christ's discourse with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. Can we all read together from the screen? In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." All of us here want to see the kingdom of God. There was a condition. You must be born again. King James says, you must. Who is Nicodemus? A ruler of the synagogue. A pastor leading a group of Jews in the Jewish synagogue. But as great as he was far from the commonwealth of Israel. And I love Nicodemus. You know why I love Nicodemus? Nicodemus said, "I've been seeing this young man moving around our streets, preaching, preaching, preaching. It's like, what he's talking about, I don't have it too." What did he do? In the night, he went and made an inquiry. And Jesus was willing to accept him. And Jesus engaged him in this discussion. When he said, "You must be born again," the man said, "How can a man like me, and that's already grown up like this, how will I be born again? I want to be born again, sir, but will I enter my mother's womb again?" I thought he looked back and said, "Even if I want to enter mama's womb now, maybe mama don't die. So whose womb will he enter to become what?" And Jesus looked at him and asked a question. You know what Jesus said? He said, "But are you not a ruler? What have you been preaching? You expected to know this?" Say, "Marvel not, that I say unto you, you must be born again. You know, it was the encounter with Nicodemus that led to the entire chapter 3. It's that context that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. It's that same John chapter 3 that talks about as the Son of Man was lifted up in the wilderness and so on and so forth. Wonderful truths that came out of that discussion. We never saw anything like altar call given to Nicodemus in that passage that he gave his life to Christ that day. But when you read the Bible very well, Nicodemus gave his life to Christ. When Jesus died, he was among the people, isn't it, that came out. Let me tell your neighbor, there's no alternative. You must be born again. Hallelujah. You want to go to heaven? No alternative. Praise the Lord. I say, you want to go to heaven, Abby? No other alternative. You just have to be born again. And if you say you don't want to go to heaven, what is the alternative? Hellfire. In fact, if you're in this meeting and you refuse to give your life to Christ, let me tell you also that the only option waiting for you is hell. And the Bible says in hell, their worms don't die. In fact, as we are talking now, the Bible says hell is enlarging itself. And hell is doing what? Making itself bigger and bigger and bigger on every day, you know, basis, because there are some people that their heart is so hardened that no matter what they hear, they are ready for hell. Congratulations, you will go there, but you will not find me there. You know what I'm shouting? I heard Pastor Kumuyi said he had a revelation of a man who went to hellfire and he was moving from one corner to the other, very dark environment. And he will look like this and raise up the head of somebody. Say, whom are you looking for? He kept moving all over air. And eventually said, I'm looking for that pastor who never told me that there's a place called air. I'm telling you, there is air. If you die without giving your heart to Christ, you will perish in eternal fire. And your blood is free from my hand. I tell you, there's hell. Don't go there. Their worms never die. You don't pay your way out of hell. The rich man died and went to hell. He couldn't come out. He said, go and tell my brothers, they should not come here. And they told him, we can't send preachers. They have enough preachers to tell them. I'm telling you, there is a fire. How can you be a Nigerian? You're a Nigerian. And you die and go to hell again. Hey. Number two, no regeneration, no entry into the kingdom of God. Number three, there's no agreement between light and darkness. Number four, sheep and goat cannot relate together. Number five, discipleship is only possible for those who have experienced the new birth. An unbeliever cannot be discipled. Number six is the danger of divine rejection. And that's what we've been talking about. This is one of the scriptures I feared most. Matthew chapter 7. And it puts me on my toe, especially as a preacher. Can we read from verse 15 to 23? We read very fast. Let's go. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Who is he talking to? Their church people, isn't it? We say, Lord, 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 Lord. Lord, 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 Lord. Say, I don't know you. Workers of iniquity. The principal evidence of a regenerated life is Christ-like character. Like we said, our churches are filled up every Sunday, but there's death of authentic Christian living. The same people recently answering worship on Sundays are worse than the devil from Monday to Saturday. Until there's regeneration of the so-called church members, there cannot be true transformation of the nation. So the issue, what must we do? What are the solutions? We must have a conviction of the possibility of regenerated church membership. In other words, we need to believe that it's possible that every local church can be filled with believers, not a mixture. We need to pray about it. Number two is prayers. We need to make it a matter of prayer. Number three, we need to draw a distinction between worshipers and members. And that's part of what we want to do this morning. We're going to be drawing that distinction. If somebody say, Pastor, I'm okay being a worshiper in the Ikoyi Baptist Church, I don't want to be a member, I just want to, you know, be plain church and all that, no problem. But we draw that line of distinction. We are to do this by being very meticulous. And we trust God to be able to help us to do that. To don't be too excited to neglect the basis, which is repentance and baptism as condition for membership. Membership overhaul. That's the type of what we are doing. In some cases, you may do a membership disbandment. We did that where I'm coming from, but I don't think that's the route we are going here. We are overhauling. We are redefining our church membership. We need to start a membership program. Everyone that comes to join the Ikoyi Baptist Church, by the grace of God, beginning from the month of March, before they become members of this church, they will go through our membership orientation. And by the grace of God, we will admit them publicly into the church when that time comes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today's Miracle and Communion service, and the message for the Miracle and Communion service is on page 16. So turn quickly to page 16 as we rush through and see how I can finish in the next 15 minutes. Can we all read the title together? Strengthen My Hands, Biblical Strategy for the Strengthening of Churches and Their Leaders. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, can you stand up and just shake hands with about three people before you come to sit down again? Shake hands with about three people. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Page 16. Strengthen my hands. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. Can we read Nehemiah 6, 9 together on the screen? Thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. We have been studying the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah started with the responsibility of rebuilding the broken walls, isn't it? While some people came to join him to do the work, some others came also to do what? To frighten them, to making sure that the work was not completed. But in the face of that challenge, what was it that Nehemiah did? He prayed. He said, now strengthen my hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this morning, for this month of March, somebody here need to pray that prayer. Say, oh God, strengthen my hands. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weary. Lord, strengthen my hands. And the same God who did it for Nehemiah will do it for you. It is obvious from a study of the book of Nehemiah that the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem was not easy. The work of the ministry could be quite challenging. This is true with church planting, especially when the new church is started from the scratch. She will need to be nurtured to maturity. Incorporating church revitalization to the church planting work of a local church therefore provides an avenue where she could periodically return to these churches to see how they are doing. The kind of church planting IBC will be involved in plays a challenge, especially on the pastors that are called to pioneer these churches. Consequently, it will be right to learn from the scripture ways by which the hands of the pastors and members of churches in IBC and Adora churches could be strengthened. This will greatly motivate them to grow to the own measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, Isaiah 35, verse 3, God's people were instructed to strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that gives way. Give us Isaiah 35, verse 3. Can we read Isaiah 35, verse 3? Steady the knees that give way. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with retribution. He will come to save you. Hallelujah. Can you tell your neighbor this morning, be strong? Be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Hallelujah. He will come to save you. Be strong. Hallelujah. Similarly, in Romans 15, verse 1, Apostle Paul admonished stronger Christians to help weaker Christians and not just to please themselves. The first thing to observe about encouraging church leaders and members from these passages is that God will not come down from heaven to encourage his people. Amen. Even though God will do it and can do it, sometimes God will expect you and I to be instruments of encouragement. Also, it is obvious that the encouragement and strengthening that church folks, as in this case, church leaders and members require, will not come from outside the body of Christ. Unbelievers certainly lack the grace to strengthen the feeble hands and knees in the church. Put differently, stronger churches are expected to come alongside other churches periodically to encourage and strengthen them so that they can grow to become all that God wants them to be. The scripture has a lot of examples of individuals and groups coming alongside of others for encouragement. And we have a list there. We'll not be able to take all of that. We'll just take selected few there. Can we look at the case of Moses by Aaron and all? Exodus 17. Give us Exodus chapter 17. Can we read Exodus 17 from verse 10 together? Praise the Lord. The media person was in a hurry. I don't know where he's running to. Okay, verse 12. Can we read verse 12? Interesting, isn't it? Moses, of all people, the man that God used to part the Red Sea. One day, God was complaining. Moses was complaining to God. Say, God, this work is too much. The burden is too much. How can I be carrying these people's burden alone? One man pastoring over 1.5 million people. That's a tough one. So he began to complain, say, God, I don't want to see my corruption. No, I don't want to see decay. God, do something about my case. God said, okay, bring men. How many people were brought? 70 of them were brought. And when God was to commission those people, I was amazed that God did not pour his spirit directly from heaven on the 70 men. You know what God did? The Bible said God took from the anointing he has put on who? On Moses. He said, Moses, what I've loaded you with, I wish you know what you carry. You will not be complaining. So let me just take a measure. And God took out of the anointing on Moses and gave the 70 people, and it was still Moses. Still intact. And read in the word of God that Moses grew tired. Excuse me, why will Moses grew tired? Moses happened to be a man. All men, they grow what? They grow tired, no matter the level of anointing. And if you don't have people around you that can strengthen your hands, there will be trouble. The most disturbing part of this passage is this, and that's implication for us, pastors and church members. Joshua was in the valley fighting. Moses was on top of the mountain doing what? Praying. For as long as Moses' hand was raised, what was happening in the valley? There was victory. And as long as Moses' hands were down, there was defeat. So when we begin to strengthen the hands of God's servants, our pastors, our church leaders, it has implication for what? for the congregation. Amen. You know, sometimes I wake up in the morning, I don't feel like praying. Say, someone say, Pastor, of all people, but that's the truth. I'm a human being. I don't know about them. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, you know, and my alarm will ring. I look at the alarm, I look at myself, I say, God, I wish I could sleep more. But when I remember that, if I don't pray now, God forbid that the enemy is just waiting for this opportunity. So I quickly gather every strength I have and began to do it, because nothing must happen to you. Praise the Lord. I said, nothing must happen to you as long as our hands are raised. It's a divine principle that God honors. Hallelujah. 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 So Moses' hand can grow tired, though. And Moses needs people who can strengthen his hand. Thank God for all. But I read also in that passage that all and Aaron too, they had to apply wisdom at some point. Did you see that they applied wisdom? I guess they were raising the man's hand that they took God time. So they went and carried what? They carried stone. Say, Oga, put your hand on stone. What was important is for the hand to be what? To be raised. Pastors, our hands will not go down. Ikoyi Baptist Church, we will not suffer defeat. In the name of Jesus. As you go out every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in the valley of life, the Moses' hand will be up on your behalf. And you experience victory on every side. In the name of Jesus Christ. Defeat should not be our portion. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You see David going to encourage Jonathan. You know the story of David? Saul was now pursuing the little boy out of jealousy, and he wanted to kill him by all means. He was now living in the bush. Jonathan left the palace according to that scripture, and the Bible says he went there to strengthen him. Please, I want to encourage you this week. Think of a member of Ikoyi Baptist Church that is going through challenge. Visit that person to go and strengthen that person. Amen. Amen. If you forward the names of such an individual to us, we also do our part. Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 4 as we're getting around, ready to close. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10 to 14, then 19 to 23. Can we read together? Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is given out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them, and we kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived there, them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Hallelujah. Then I said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Hallelujah. Your God will, in this month of March, our God will fight for us. Amen. in your office, your God will fight for you. In that marriage, God will fight for you. Over your health, God will fight for you. Say, do not be afraid. Amen. Some of the ways we can engage in encouraging people from Scripture, page 18, timely and purposeful visitation. By the grace of God, the pastors and deacons will be coming around our houses. We have divided ourselves into groups. So when they come, open the doors of your house to them and make sure they pray for you before they leave. Amen. The ministry of the word of God is an important tool for encouragement, ministry of encouragement, use of kind words, like we see Ezra doing, we see Jonathan doing. Persistent intercession is also one way by which we can minister encouragement to people. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. When you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Use of hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Very helpful in gaining encouragement. The gifts of the Holy Spirit create opportunities for rest through vacation, especially has to do with men of God, yourself, creating time to rest. And I say churches should hold their pastors accountable. You know, when they say they are going on leave, make sure they go on leave. Amen. 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 There are other practical ways by which this can be done for both pastors and members. This year, by the grace of God, we'll be celebrating the mother in Israel, Reverend Mrs. Adegboyega. Reverend Mrs. has been in Ikoyi for 15 years by the grace of God. I think you can clap better. Let's celebrate this woman of God. The way you are clapping, you are not happy with Reverend Mrs. I think you can clap better for Reverend Mrs. 15 years is not a joke. 15 years, no be yoke. Father, we thank you for your Sabbath. Hallelujah. Can we say God bless you, ma? God bless you, ma. Amen. You may be seated. You know, because I'm pastor, there are some things, if I'm teaching this in other churches that is not Ikoyi Baptist Church, there are some things I will say. But because I'm here in Ikoyi, I don't want to be misunderstood. So when I'm sharing this with the deacons, the Lagos Central Conference, I think, Deacon Oyinde is organizing this same program for all the deacons. I'll be sharing certain things about how to appreciate God's servant. But I need to also appreciate Ikoyi Baptist Church for your care over your pastors. Can we give the Lord a wonderful clap offering for Ikoyi Baptist Church? Ikoyi is not hearing your clap. IBC is not hearing that clap. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.